How do I follow up that? I feel so like a letdown a little bit. That's okay. Let's get into the word. Our text is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Once again, we're finishing up the second part, the second half of the text, starting in verse number 23. So go ahead and turn there. And if you don't realize by now, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth here, and he's writing to, in many ways, a very immature group of Christians. And he's writing these things to mature them, to build them up, and to help them to live and to function as a church should, as God would intend for it to function, as mature, strong believers in Christ. And so there's much to be gained from us going through this book. Today's message is called, With Freedom Comes Responsibility. Several times he's hit on this topic a little bit. And each time it kind of gives us a little bit of a better perspective, a better understanding. And this is another one of those times when we bring up the topic of our freedom. But today we're looking at how it comes indeed as mature Christians with responsibility. I can't tell you how many times in my work and my ministry that I've known children that have grown up in what I would call, what you would call, godly Christian homes. Homes that love the Lord. They went to church. They regularly, had their Bible times. And so they've grown up in that with Christian standards that they sought to live by. Some may have been reasonable. Others may have been what we would call more strict and more legalistic in their upbringing. But those kids at times would grow up. And then when they move away, you find that they wildly swing to the other direction. They go off the rails, some would say. And they start living a life abandoning the standards that they had grown up with. And unfortunately, at times, diving directly into the world and into sin. And I've seen that happen quite a bit. And you stop and you ask, how could that happen? You know, they had a good Christian home. They had a home with a mom and dad that loved God. They taught Christian standards and Christian principles. So how can they leave and just go completely the other direction? Now, we must be careful to too simplistically offer a quick, easy answer as to why that happens. And there could be many issues here. One issue is to apply the law without love can lead to this. There was a lot of law, there was a lot of rules, but there wasn't a lot of love that was taking place alongside of it. That could be. Or just focusing on external adherence without addressing an internal heart need, without reaching a heart. So you got external compliance, you just learn to that it's better to just follow along, follow the rules. That way things go better for you, and you learn that, but it doesn't become a part of what's really inside. Could be that one is just simply not truly born again. It never was a heart change. They never truly came to know Christ. They just did what the family did. Or simply never maturing to realize that we must have some responsibilities as believers in Christ along with our freedom that we have in Christ. So there's a number of things. And so let's start with verse number 23, though. And see, we'll read the whole text down to verse 33, and then we'll go through it closer. First of all, Paul writes, verse 23, all things are lawful for me. We've heard this before, haven't we? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner, and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no question for conscience sake. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you, and for conscience sake. The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this text that we have today. And Lord, I pray that in this place you would be working in the hearts of your people, that we, your people, would become a mature people, mature disciples of Christ. And may we take these things to heart, realizing that we are free in Christ. And what a wonderful freedom that is. But Lord, we also realize and see as mature believers that we have responsibilities to consider as well. And so I pray that we would reach that maturity, that we would consider others as well, as we live, as we are examples, as we want to build up and edify. Lord, I also pray for any soul here this morning that is unsure of where they stand with you. If they are born again, if they're not, if they're a child of God or not. And I pray, Lord, that you would do a work in that person's life, in their heart, that you, through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the giving of the word, would work in that heart and bring them to know Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, all things are lawful for me. The first point we're going to look at is simply, do you understand your freedom in Christ? Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Twice here we see Paul affirming all things are lawful. They're lawful. This means that the Christian is no longer under the law and its requirements and its curse. We're not under the law as believers in Christ. You have been set free from that. And Paul explains this in great detail in the book of Romans in particular. And as you look through chapter number 6 and 7 and even 8, he explains the Christian's relationship to the law before we came to know Christ and then after we came to know Christ. In chapter 8, verse 2 of Romans, Paul says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We see two laws mentioned here. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ is mentioned. And then the law of sin and death. Which is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ? It's not referring here to the Old Testament law that was given. That's not the law that was mentioned. So the Old Testament law that was given is mentioned here as the law of sin and death. How can it be? How can we refer to the law and to the commandments as the law of sin and death? Listen to what Paul says of the Old Testament law in the previous chapter 7, verse 10. And the commandment, the law, the commands, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. The law that was supposed to bring life. And the law is good. And Paul says the law is good. It's holy. It's right. It's righteous. But the problem is Paul realized and understood that he is not. And so for the law to say, for you to be accepted by God, you must achieve this, is an impossible task. And Paul realized that the law that was supposed to bring life brought death. Why? Because he kept failing. Because he kept realizing he cannot. It's an impossibility. It's an impossible task. And it brought death. Because the wages of sin is death. So Christian, we need to understand you are no longer under the law of sin and death. But you are under a new law. You are under Christ. You are under new management. You have a new ruler. You are under him. Now the strong Christian, the mature Christian, knows that he has freedom in Christ. But the mature Christian also knows that with this freedom in Christ comes with responsibilities. In this example, we're once again brought back to meat offered to idols. This was a real issue for the Christians in the church at this time in Corinth. This was an issue, and they were concerned, and there were some disagreements. They didn't know what to do. And we've already seen Paul address this a couple of times. This time, though, it's more of a private function that perhaps the Christian themselves didn't buy, but they were invited to another brother's house for a meal together. And Paul just tells them, go, and if they set food down before you, give thanks and eat. And don't ask questions about it. But he made the statement, if there is someone there, another Christian, what Paul would call a weaker Christian, and they say, hey, I think this was food that was offered to idols. And it's a problem to them and their conscience, and it's going to be a potential stumbling block to them. Then Paul said, don't eat. So with this in mind, let's look at a few issues that we must consider when it comes to enjoying our freedom in Christ. And to do this, you know, we're going to look back a little bit as well to review the issues of freedom in Christ that Paul has already addressed. And the first one is, don't let anything take you back to slavery. Don't let anything in your life, Christian, take you back into slavery that you've been set free from. In chapter 6, verse 12, Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are, what's the word? Helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. He says, I don't want to go back to slavery. Anything that's going to take me back into slavery that God set me free from, why would I want to do that? Why would I do that? We dealt with this a few weeks back, but it bears repeating. Let me give us three simple truths of what God has done for us. Three simple truths. The first is that we were slaves. We were slaves before we came to Christ. You were a slave. Paul said in Romans 6, verse 20, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. The two are mutually exclusive. Slaves to sin, righteousness, you can't do both. When you were a slave to sin, you served your master and you sinned. You were a slave to it. A slave serves their master. So we understand that we were slaves, but we also must understand, secondly, that Christ set us free. In verse 6 of chapter 6, back in Romans, Paul says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Through Christ's death, through his sacrifice, our old selves died with him, and we rose to a new life with him. And that's the symbol that we give of baptism. When we are baptized, we are placed under the water, and it signifies our death, our old self. Our old self has died because we are in Christ now, and we died with him. But with him, we also have resurrection, and so we come up out of the water. By the way, a brief, it's not in the bulletin, but next Sunday, we're having a baptism. And so I encourage you to be here for it. We're doing the baptism at 9 o'clock. That is when we normally have the study time. But we want to have a baptism time during that time. Come and be a part of the baptism of a couple of new believers, a brother and a sister. Not physically, but spiritually. We were slaves. Christ set us free, though, that we should no longer serve sin, be slaves to sin. The old hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which fell be for sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. You know the verse? You know the words? Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let the water and the blood, let that sacrifice of Christ be the cure, the double cure. And the double cure is to save from wrath, the wrath of God, which abides on sinners. Outside of Christ, we are under condemnation. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation of those who are in Christ. But those who are not in Christ still remain under condemnation. Outside of Christ, you are condemned to death because of sin by a holy and righteous God. And so the double cure is to save from the wrath of God. Jesus Christ took the wrath of God on our behalf. But the second thing was, and make me pure. And that involves you are set free from the bondage of sin, from slavery to sin. You're no longer a captive of sin. You are free to serve a new master. You are under that new management. You are no longer bound to the old law, which was an impossible feat for you to achieve righteousness through. It was impossible. But now you are under a new law. You are under Christ, the law of love. It's different. And you have been set free from sin. That's the double cure. But thirdly, we must not go back to slavery. Paul wrote to the Galatian church in chapter 5, verse 1. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Stand with the liberty that you've been made free in. Don't go back to bondage of any kind. Don't go back to the old ways. Don't go back into sin. So the idea as a Christian preaching grace, we're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves, and the idea that that is dangerous and that will just amount to a carte blanche permission to live in sin any way you want to, that just doesn't make sense to Paul. And it doesn't make sense to someone who is truly born again. Someone who truly knows what God has done for them and how much they've been forgiven and the freedom that they have in Christ. But listen, we can take that for granted and we can't go back into bondage if we're not careful and we don't keep our eyes on the Lord. Don't go back to bondage. You've been set free. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, he says, this only I would learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? That is, when you came to know Christ, how did you receive salvation? How were you born again? Was it by the working of the law, or was it by the Spirit of God? And that's a rhetorical question. He wanted to remind them, though, you were saved by the Spirit. And you realized that there was nothing you could do by the work of the law, by your own self, by your flesh, your goodness. And then he asked them the question, okay, do you think now as a Christian that you're going to be made mature and perfect? Mature as a Christian because of the working of the flesh in the law. And again, it's another rhetorical. No, we can't do that. Having begun in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Commentator Frank Zuck puts it this way. He says, the Christian life is described as a life apart from law, a life apart from license, that is license to sin and just live in sin, a life according to the Spirit, and a life of service. It's a life apart from law, apart from license, a life according to the Spirit, and a life of service. The next consideration in considering our freedom in Christ as mature Christians is seek to never be a stumbling block. Seek to never be a stumbling block. Chapter 8, verse 13, 1 Corinthians. Do we have that? Yep. Okay, read it out loud. Okay, ready? Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Again, he's talking here in reference to that meat that was sold in the marketplace, that was offered to idols at some point, and was discarded and sold at that discount. But he says, I don't want to be a stumbling block, and if it's going to cause a brother to stumble, and he referred to them as a weaker brother, their conscience was weakened, weaker, but it wasn't worth it to insist on his freedom in Christ if it's going to damage the growth and discipleship and faith of a younger brother. He says, I won't eat meat again if that's what it's going to do. It's not Christ-like to say, as a Christian, I can do whatever I desire because I am free and it doesn't matter what other people think about it. Well, it does matter if you have a Christ-like concern for others, for their well-being, for their growth in the Lord, for their discipleship, for their maturity. It matters. And like Paul, we should be willing to say, My freedom isn't as important as their maturity and growth in the Lord. And I don't want to be a stumbling block to that. In our text in chapter 10 this morning, with the example given where you're invited to someone's house and they serve you, Paul says, sit down and enjoy what was offered, what was served, and don't ask. You don't need to, because he dealt with this before, that there's no idols, you know, there's no other God but one. An idol is nothing. It's something that's man-made. He wasn't worried about that. He did talk about how others, when they serve idols, they're actually serving demons. And so he dealt with that. But the object itself, the item itself is nothing. The meat that was offered is just meat. And so he tells them, just eat, give thanks, and eat it. He says, however, if someone has a problem, well, he said that in verse 25, eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no question for conscience sake. But then in verse 28, he says, if there's someone who has a problem with it, and they say, hey, wait a minute, do you know where that came from? He says, well, don't eat it then. Don't eat it. Now, maybe some here this morning are saying, well, Paul sounds a little wishy-washy. Where does he stand on this? He sounds like he's willing to eat it if it's okay with everyone else, but if someone brings it up, then okay, I won't eat it anymore. And some would say that sounds wishy-washy or a spiritual chameleon. And I would suggest to you, no, Paul is consistent. He's consistent. All that is done, all that he does is laid out in that principle in verse 24. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. That's his intent. That's the consistency of his life and how he deals with issues. He's looking out for other people and their well-being and their growth. It's like a weather vane at an airport. Have you ever seen especially a small airport, and they have the flag, and there's a wind sock, it's yellow or orange or something, and it blows with the wind. And this is how they tell which way the wind's going and which way the plane should take off and land. And so the weather vane's pointing this way one day, and you come back the next day, and you'll take a look, and you see it's pointing this way the next day. And it keeps changing directions. And you say that weather vane is just inconsistent. It's wishy-washy. It can't make up its mind which way it's going to blow. But the weather vane is consistent. It's consistently there for a purpose. And it's the principle is to show the direction of the wind for the benefit of others who are using the airport. This is the same principle. Paul is saying, no, it's not about the meat. It's not about this issue, but it is about other people. And that's the consistent theme all the time. And if it's going to cause a problem to a brother or sister who is weaker in the faith, and by weaker in the faith, we don't mean weak-minded, but they're newer, they're younger, they're growing in the Lord, and maybe some of their old ways are still far too fresh in their thinking and mind to enjoy any kind of freedom in that regard. And so it becomes a conscience problem for them. Paul says, no, for them, for their sake, I won't do that. Fourthly, another principle, seek things that build up, not tear down. Verse 23, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. So in the Christian life, the final test of anything shouldn't be, am I allowed? You know, some people want that in their Christian life. Some people like, you know, just give me the rules. What am I allowed to do as a Christian? We know some things in the Bible are pretty clear. But there's a lot of things that are in these other areas that the Bible doesn't actually specifically say, do not do. And so am I free to do that? Am I allowed to do this, to partake of that, to go here, to do that, to say this, to say that? But the final test, surely, as a mature believer in Christ, isn't am I allowed? But the test should be, is this edifying? Is this helpful? Is this edifying and lifting up, building up someone else? Generally, I'm careful to go through lists of things. There may be times I can give an opinion on something. But if I just give lists, you just obey these rules here, and you should be pretty mature as a Christian, that I'm going to either miss out some things or someone can actually complete all the list, but still their heart's far away from the Lord, you know, so it's not about that. But let me give you one example. At IBC, for example, the pastoral team here and our deacons, we have a basic position that we just will avoid alcohol as a beverage. We don't drink wine, beer, alcoholic beverages. We just see that this has such a potential problem for many in many homes, and it's not necessary. And it could be a potential stumbling block to a weaker brother. And so that's our position in leadership. But let me give you a couple of different examples of how I've seen this dealt in specific situations. There's been plenty of times where I've gone to special events and I've sat down with others at a dinner, say, and at the dinner table, they'll bring out some bottles of wine and people around will be enjoying their drinking with their meal. And so as a Christian, as a pastor, I rightfully say, you shall not drink that in front of me. Amen? Because I am too holy for that to be in my presence. I don't do that. I just say, oh, no, thank you. No, we don't drink. I appreciate the offer. Why? I'm not here to try to present a stumbling block. I don't want my refusal and rudeness in that regard to become a stumbling block either. I want to show them Christ. There was another time that left an impact on me. I was out with a group, and this time the group was Christians, a group of Christians. There was a new person in the group of Christians with us, a young lady, and she wasn't a Christian herself. She was new. But we went out to dinner together, and this young lady happened to order herself a drink with her meal, a beer or something. I don't remember if it was a beer or wine. But I remember one of the Christian leaders got up in front of the others, went over to them, and insisted that they have that removed from the table, and we don't have that here with us. And I remember as he was saying that to her, she just kind of looked down and shook her head. She was embarrassed. And when she didn't immediately respond, he insisted further, would you please take it away now? And with tears going down her face, she said, okay. And she had it taken away. But we never saw her in church again. Never saw her in church again. We held up that principle. But we never saw her. That was a stumbling block. Why? Seek things that build up, not tear down. Our focus must be on building up one another, and especially building up new believers in their faith. So as we ask the questions, are we allowed? The first question should be, is this helpful? Is this going to build up the other person? Is this going to build them up? And fifth, seek things which glorify God. Verse 31 of chapter 10, Paul writes, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. So it's not just a question of, will this edify others? But even more importantly than that, does this bring glory to God? And surely it simplifies things a lot in our life when we're wondering, is this permissible for me or not? Is this activity or is this event or whatever, is this permissible? When the first question that we ask is ultimately, will this bring glory to God? Is this glorifying to my Lord, my Savior, the one who set me free, the one who gave everything to buy my freedom from sin? Our life purpose is to glorify God. And so this should be our ultimate question, our primary question, not just is it permissible, but is God going to get glory in this? As Paul already stated, all things are permissible. Not about that, but beyond that, can we say this glorifies God? One more. Seek what helps win the lost to Christ. Verse 32, give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. The Jews, Gentiles, the church itself. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Paul's desire was for people, other people, to come to know Christ as he did. And Paul knew he was a sinner, rat bag. He knew it more than most. In fact, he said, I was the chief of sinners. He persecuted the church of God. And God got a hold of him, though. God called him, and he saved him. He saved his soul. He forgave him. And Paul, more than anything, desired other people to know that same message, other people to have the same understanding that they can also be forgiven. Is your desire to win the lost to Christ? And this surely must be something that we consider as we contemplate our freedoms in Christ. Is this helping to reach others for Christ? Is this complementing the message of reaching others for Christ? So, Christian, first of all, know you are free in Christ. You are free. You are not under the law of sin and death. You have been set free. You've been set free from sin, free to serve Christ. You have been called to righteousness. That's who you are now. And don't let anything take you back to slavery. And that involves sin. Don't let anything, don't go back into sin. Don't let sin have a root, have a foothold in your life. You do that, you're surrendering your freedom again to slavery. And you don't need to do that. And if you've done that, I encourage you, I ask you, I plead with you, confess it to the Lord and repent and claim that freedom and walk in it, live in it. Seek never to be a stumbling block to others in your freedom. You are free in Christ. And as Paul talked about with this issue of going and eating some meat that was offered to idols, you're free. And if someone invites you to that kind of situation, of course, he says you're free. But the focus here is don't be a stumbling block. Seek to build up in all things, never tear down. And finally, seek what would assist the most in winning others for Christ. What would assist in that goal? The desire for others to also come to know the same Savior that you know. Live in the joy and the freedom of being in Christ. And there is nothing greater in life than having freedom, knowing who you are, having a relationship with your God, with your Creator, and being free to serve Him, to live in righteousness for Him, to live your purpose. But remember, that comes with responsibility. Would you stand, please? Would you bow your head and close your eyes for a moment? I don't want to assume anything. I don't want to assume that because you're here, that you know you're born again. Because you're here, you must be a born-again Christian. I want to be careful that we don't assume that of everyone. Maybe you're here because you're concerned. Maybe you're here because you know there must be something else in life, something greater. Maybe you think, you have thought that you've been a Christian because you've attended church or you've done something, be it been baptized or went to a class and put your name down on paper. Maybe you've done many other things. Those things don't make us Christians. We'll find Christians do many of those things. But that's not what makes us Christian. Only what Christ has done for us on the cross and our faith in that. Simple faith. Jesus thank you for dying for me, for my sin. I repent of all my sin, and I look to you as my Savior, my Lord. Is there anyone here who is unsure, though, of their own soul, their own salvation? You're concerned, but you're not 100% sure. With no one else looking, would you raise your hand quietly and let me pray for you, not embarrass you, not call you out? I just want to pray for you myself. Is there anyone? Pastor, just pray for me. I'm not sure of my own salvation before God, but I am concerned. It's a concern in my heart. Just pray for me if you would. Brothers and sisters, then I want to just encourage you now. Go to maturity. Maturity in Christ. A mature Christian doesn't just focus on my freedom. I can do what I want to do. I am not under the law anymore. You know, a mature Christian considers other things. What glorifies God? What edifies others? Okay, there are other important things that we consider in our life. You want to bring others to know Christ. Does it aid and help in that process, that desire? I urge you, let us go on to maturity in Christ. Seek these other things. Seek the benefit of others more than yourself. This needs to be our heart. And as a church body in Christ, if all of us had this same heart, what an awesome place it would be for Christians to grow and mature. A place where each is seeking to edify, putting the needs of others first and not presenting stumbling blocks when there's a potential there, but saying, what can I do to lift up my brother, to help him grow? Would you do that this morning? May your prayer be, Lord, help me grow to maturity in Christ. And may I not just consider myself, my desires. May my primary question not just be what is permissible, but what is helpful? What could potentially be a stumbling block? What is beneficial? What is glorifying to God? May these be the things in my life that are more important, carry more weight than my freedoms, my permissions. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take a seat. We just have a few announcements, and then we'll be ready to be dismissed.
Thank you for the message this morning. Just a few quick announcements. If you have your bulletins on the inside pages, under the notices, the Elevate Youth Camp for next year is at Lake Talpo. It's the 12th through the 15th. Of January. The cost is $190, maybe as much as $200. You want to come up, Josh, and just mention a few things about this?
All right, so we camp coming up in January. This is the one that's in Talpo this year. We had originally planned for Northern Camp, but that one didn't work out, so we're going to go to Talpo. This one's going to be just as fun because we go there every winter camp and the past summer camp as well. We've been there. So we would need registration as soon as possible. If you are interested in going, don't worry about the cost right now because we're going to knock that down really, really, really low for our teens to where it's, I don't know, the past 2 years have been free for our teens. So I'll just say that, which has been great from the fundraising that all the support from IBC has been helping and given to us. So don't worry about the cost right now. But if you are interested in coming along to the 12th to the 15th, sign up today. We do have registration forms, but I wasn't as optimistic. No, not optimistic. I wasn't planned that so many people would be taking the registration forms. So we need more, which is good, which is really good. So sign up today if you are interested. We'll get your registration form to fill out. And this isn't your normal camp. Like you go in a tent and you're stuck outside. These are nice lodges, okay? So I don't even know if you can call it camping. But it's a really nice lodge. Girls' dorms, boys' dorms, really nice places. Food is excellent down in Taupo. That's a big bonus as well. Also, we got a guest speaker, Pastor Derek from Australia, who's come back to New Zealand. He's a great, funny South African man who loves to tell jokes, very loud, and he's going to teach you probably some African phrases as well. So it's going to be a really, really fun time. So I hope you can make it. Come see me or my wife, Denise. You can stand up in the back. The one waving there in the back. See us, and we'll get you signed up and more information about camp.
Thanks, Josh. Also, thanks to those who have brought the chocolate bars out for the ladies' prison ministry and the gift bags that we're putting together. We are about halfway there. We need 400 total, so we're about halfway there. So next week, if you're still want to contribute, you can bring the chocolate bars in next week, or anytime through the week, just bring them into the office here, and you can see the very specific kind that we need, the Cadbury Dairy Milk 180-gram milk chocolate. Very specific because we have to keep the bags all consistent. And when I say we're doing the gift bags, the ministry team or the chaplaincy team, Gina and Kay, Mono and Archie, along with some others, they're putting together the gift bags. And they're going to include in that gospel tracts and things. So when they go there through the week, sometimes the ladies will not come out. Some of the ones will not come out to the worship services, and they may not come to the Bible studies. But at least this is one way that we can get the gospel into many of them there. So anything else, Jeannie, you'd like to add to that? Nope. All right. And then also the Christmas Eve program coming up the 24th of December. That's from 8 o'clock on the Christmas Eve night. And it's going to be singing and lots of fun, lots of things that'll be happening for that. You can see the note in here on the Junior Church Christmas production practices on the dates that is there. So if your children are a part of the practice times, just make sure that you're here for that. See Chandra about all the practice times and putting everything together, and she'll give you all the details for that. Chandra, would you like to come and say something too? Of course.
It's becoming a weekly basis now. Thank you so much, everyone that has registered already. Next week, November 29, we have the family portrait photo shoot coming from 11:30 right through to 1:30. We have 54 families and groups that has registered, but I'm still seeing some people that hasn't registered yet. So if you guys look for the people that are wearing the reindeer hat at the back, we're happy to register you guys for next week. And the November 29 practice at 4 p.m., we're only needing all the special item groups. We are not needing the junior church for that. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Chandra. I think that's all of the announcements, other than just continue to pray for our missionaries, Bob and Sela Buster, our missionaries this week that we want to continue to pray for, and then our other missionaries, and we've posted all the letters with in the back so that you can read them each week. Before we're dismissed, maybe you're celebrating a birthday or a wedding anniversary, and we would like to celebrate with you. Anyone this week coming up with a birthday that we can celebrate with you? Anyone with a birthday this week? Or if you were not here last week, that's still good enough. You can still come up, take one of the chocolate bars. No? Any birthdays? Wedding anniversaries? No. No wedding anniversaries or birthdays. All right. Well, let's all stand together. Pastor Ken's going to come dismiss us in a time of prayer.
No birthdays? Really? Well, we do have a few of those throughout the year, don't we? Sometimes someone's very, very shy, though, and takes them a while to get up. Let's be sure to greet each other before you leave. And if you haven't seen the Coxes in a long time, be sure to get around. And one of them had a bad accident last night. Is it Ashton? Is it Devin? Sorry, I get the names. Poor Devin, he busted his forehead open pretty good, so he looks like a tough rugby player now.
But be sure to greet everyone and the Herzls and Ben and Marge. And don't forget to be praying for our missionaries. Pray for the Bastus in Tonga. And pray for the Herzls to get back into Vanuatu. Let's pray. Thanks, Father, for our day. Thanks for the worship, for the time around your word, and for the challenge, Lord, of the word as we grow to maturity in Christ. Let us not think immature, juvenile in our way, Lord, as we say all things are permissible. But, Lord, we know we have responsibilities in Christ, and we care about our brothers and sisters, and we care about winning others to Christ. So I pray that all these things would direct our thoughts, our decisions, and our actions, and may we seek to bring glory to you above all. Thank you in Jesus' name. And we say, amen. Amen. God bless.